The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
You're listening to the PVD Cast with John Orlando.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 531. I hope all is well with you out there, and thank you very much for checking out this edition of the PVD Cast. Well, my guest has not appeared on the show in quite a while, and I just ran into him at Space. And at that point, I said, man, I got to have you come back on because you got some cool stuff going on. And of course, I'm talking about Ben Wright Uman, the cartoonist extraordinaire, as he likes to call himself. And he's got a great comic called Cause Pain, which is a kind of a lighthearted look at the world of conventions and cosplay and whatnot. His newest endeavor is taking a bunch of those individual comics and putting them together in a collection. And he's got a Kickstarter for it that is currently going on right here, right now. And it's going on until June 26th. So you can just go on over to Kickstarter, put in Cospain, C-O-S-P-A-I-N, and it'll pop up and you can hear all about the different stretch goals and the status on the project and everything else. And definitely we're talking about that on this edition, as well as some of his other older projects, such as The Letters from the Devil, and also talking about Canon Wright Productions, which is kind of an imprint that Ben started along with a couple of other folks. So we're going to talk all about that, but before we get into my conversation with Ben, I need to thank some folks, some sponsors of the PVD Cast. And the first one is the newest sponsor, Courtney614 Deals. If you need great deals on a plethora of different things, from women's fashion to health and beauty to pop culture to baseball cards to appliances, whatever it is that you need, you should check out Courtney614 Deals first before making any other purchases. Because, again, as I said, tons of great deals. She can be found over on all those major reselling sites like Whatnot, eBay, Poshmark, etc., etc. Simply look for Courtney. That's spelled C-O-R-T-N-E-Y, 614 Deals. And if you do find some great deals and you buy some stuff from Courtney, please let her know that you heard about her endeavors right here on the PVD Cast. And now let's talk about the old school sponsor. Of course, I'm talking about World's Greatest Comics. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio, and they have tons of comics from every era: the golden, the silver, the bronze, and the modern era. They also have graphic novels, toys, comic book supplies, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues, various collectibles, you name it, they got it for your fandom. So stop on over to the store and say hi to Jeff and all the fine folks over at World's Greatest, or you can check them out online if you're not in Central Ohio. Their website is wgcomics.com, and they're pretty active on their Facebook page. Just search for at WGComics. So with that out of the way, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, you're going to hear my conversation with Ben Wright Uman talking about Cause Pain. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight I am joined by the cartoonist extraordinaire himself, Ben Wright Uman. Ben, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, John. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. I apologize. It's been a while since you've been on the show, but I'm glad that you're joining us here on the PVD Cast to talk about your various projects that you have going on.
Yeah, it's good to be back. I think you were one of the first podcasts I was ever on, so it's cool to be making a return.
Okay, cool, man.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk a little bit about one of your projects that's actually going to kind of lead into a current thing you have going on with the same title, so to speak. So let's start off by letting the folks know all about your project known as Cause Pain.
Well, Cause Pain is, I like to call it my comedy weeb comic, all about cosplay and convention craziness. It's a project I've been doing pretty much since I started doing comics full time. Back in 2017, I've been going to conventions since 2008. I've been a cosplayer. Don't get to do it much these days because I'm busy, but you know, I break it out whenever I'm able to. But back in 2017, I remember being at, it was Super Magfest in National Harbor, Maryland. And there was just a funny moment where I was in full body cosplay, complete with a mask. And during a shoot, I was left to watch the bags while other people were in a having photos taken. And I realized I couldn't see anything. Someone could come up, steal a bag and walk away. I wouldn't even know. And I just stopped and went, this would make a great comic. And so about 7 months later, the first Cause Pain comic went up online.
What is your cosplay or your cosplays that you like to utilize for conventions?
Well, back then I was able to put a lot more time and effort into this stuff.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I never got into the super hardcore level of it. I have friends who make everything from scratch, full wigs, full, like all their clothing they do themselves. As far as I know, mostly not even 3D printing. Like their stuff predates, most of the cosplay people I know, our work predated when 3D printing was available. Nowadays, I just do some of the most basic cosplay I can do because most of the time when I'm at cons and actually getting to do that stuff and I'm not, you know, working behind a table and selling stuff, I'm most often going and helping my friend Trixie teach dance at some of the things. And so I need cosplay that's simple enough I can move in it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the new project for Cause Pain is that you've collected all of the comics together.
A chunk of the comics together, yeah. I've wanted to do a collection for a very, very long time. And various things have kind of pushed that back because I had originally planned to make it a huge book that would contain everything. And that increasingly got more and more infeasible because we are now at, I think the last comic that went up was strip number 428. So that's a little hard to fit into one book that is affordable to print. And as and especially since there's been all the issues with tariffs and things like that that have changed the cost of printing and stuff like that. And as I was crunching the numbers, I kind of realized, well, there's another trick I could theoretically do. So we're going to start by collecting really good quality versions of the first 150 strips. And that's what we are we currently have on Kickstarter, the Cause Pain, the Collected Weeb Comics Volume 1.
How's the Kickstarter going?
Extremely well. We are at 89% towards the first goal. And as soon as we hit that, we definitely... The way Kickstarter works, in case anyone doesn't know, you have to reach your base goal or you don't get any of the money. Everyone's just pledged to back the project. But as soon as you pass that base goal, it's like, okay, you will get whatever money is put into it. But yeah, 89, we're 89% there. So we're probably going to get funded. So that is the good news. What I'd really like, I'm actually also doing stretch goals because this is the other part of this, is I realized, oh yeah, I can actually make a good quality collection that has 150 strips in it. And I have enough strips that I can, and comic pages that I can do that three times. So the current plan is I wanted to see how the Kickstarter would do, see if we could get enough interest. And if we can get hit our second stretch goal, which is $1,000 past the base goal that we've set, then I'll print a second book. And if we do another $1,000, a third book. Like I have enough material and experience with self-publishing that I can at this point make three full collections, which is what I'd really love to do, but we'll see if we get that far.
Okay. So far, it seems like it's going smooth. Have you done other Kickstarters and have they gone as smoothly as this current one is going?
This is about an average Kickstarter for me. I've done two Kickstarters for personal projects like this. I'm trying to remember what we talked about in the previous interview, but I did have two previous graphic novels in a series called The Letters of the Devil. I kickstarted both of them. Since lockdown in 2020, I've also teamed up with another cartoonist friend of mine, Rainer Cannonstein, and we put together basically a publishing imprint called Cannon Wright Productions that's been making comic anthologies. And through them, we've successfully kickstarted three more books. So I actually have a pretty good amount of experience on these and I haven't had a failed campaign yet. So,
that's good.
But yeah, this one, I my best campaign, I want to say we got it funded in hit the base goal in 7 hours. Like it happened super fast. The most stressful campaign we had did not get funded until a few hours before everything ended. So this is looking to be right in the middle because we're a little bit, we're only 11% away from funding. So we are probably going to make it. I'm hoping by the end of the week, but that it's only going to happen if your listeners decide to subscribe to this Kickstarter.
That's right. That's right, folks. If you got an opportunity to help out a great independent comic book creator, help Ben out. I assume that if you just go over to Kickstarter and you put in Cause Pain, a collection of, you said your Weebly comics, correct?
Weeb comic is how I put
Weeb.
It. For anyone not familiar, Weeb is internet slang for an anime nerd.
See, I did not know that. See, I'm learning something here. I was unaware of that.
There have been all kinds of terms. When I started out, it was otaku. Weeb came from, I believe the full one is the word, it's an abbreviation of the word weeaboo, which just means the same thing. But yeah, it was funny when I was working on all the branding and it occurred to me, you know, saying weeb comic would actually be perfect for this.
But you still have a few more weeks here because from my notes, the end of the campaign is June 26th, correct?
Yes, June 26th at midnight.
All right. And so you've mentioned your other two stretch goals. Do you have any other perks or anything else that you would like to highlight with the campaign? Or is it just if you get those two other tiers, you're going to get more books?
I mean, that's the main thing that we have with stretch goals. I'm thinking about doing posters of the cover that I'm putting together and making that available as soon as we hit the initial goal. Just so people have a little extra reason to throw some money at us. But for the most part, I tend to use Kickstarter like a pre-order system more than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Especially since like it's a situation where you're going into it and you've pretty much done, like you already have a product that you're able to put out there. Like all these strips have already been made. I'm doing some basic tweaks to them so that they fit into the overall age range and quality of later comics. I'm not doing art changes, but I'm using a font that's more legible and things like that. But it is, for the most part, I've got a product. I'm ready to make it. I just need to get the funding to print it. As for things you could get besides books, I'm also starting to do Cospain specific merch that I've never had before. We've got acrylic keychains. We've got magnets, stickers. I have tiers that no one's gone. I don't think anyone's actually gone for this yet, but I have commissions where I will draw you in the style of Cospain.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah. So little fun things you can add on if you want more than just a book.
Well, I really dig the marketing because I found it very comical when you were describing a convention, when you say infinite lines, overstuffed hotel rooms. Was that another one that I think that you mentioned?
Yes.
All those were pretty fun and I enjoyed those. So I'm just giving you a compliment that marketing was hilarious and I enjoyed it.
Thank you. Yeah. That it's the great thing about Cospain is that, even people who aren't involved in the con scene or any of that stuff seem to find it funny. That was a big part of my goal early on too, is that people who, I wanted to make something that you could connect to. It's like you would feel seen if this was who you were, if this was part of what you were involved in. And if you needed to be able to show someone else, hey, this is what I'm talking about when I'm doing all this, they would be able to understand it. So I'm glad you see those jokes and you're immediately like, oh yeah, that on its own is funny.
Yeah. I mean, cause I can relate too from being just a fan of Comic Cons and that pop culture cons. Yeah, I definitely get the infinite lines and the frustration that sometimes happens because you're waiting in line all day and you're missing out on other things. And, you know, all of those other things make perfect sense to me.
The very first Cospain strip is called Line Con, and it literally is just one of the characters in a registration line that's going all over the convention center. And in the very last panel, they find themselves at the exact same spot they were at the beginning. Like the line just looped itself.
And for the folks that can't empathize, go to a big con and see if Ben and I are making this up or if we're being real with this.
I will say, in general, cons have gotten better about that. Most of the big cons I've been to, I'm usually in line at worst like 15 minutes. There have definitely been some exceptions, but the fact that so much of registration stuff has moved completely online has made life a lot easier.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. All right. So let's talk here. Cospain, of course, the Kickstarter is ongoing until until June 26th. Folks, I'm sure they could just search Ben for Cospain in Kickstarter, correct? And it'll pop right up.
That's right. And you can also just put in tinyurl.com/Cospain1, and that will get you directly there as well. And Cospain, since this is an audio medium, is Cospain.
Well, there you go. So we're going to talk about Canon Wright Productions and the Letters of the Devil and that as well. But I want to kind of wrap up our cosplay conversation here, I guess you could say, with you naming a couple of the most fantastical cosplays you have seen someone produce or showcase at a convention.
Oh, man, what would be some of the biggest ones? My first thought is some of the stuff my friend Trixie has managed to pull off. She's been a cosplay friend of mine since I started cosplaying. We knew each other in college and then started going to cons together when I first began. And she is much more hardcore about making stuff and doing all these things. And she also, like, there are a lot of jokes about physics defying cosplays that happen in the comic. A lot of that is based on stuff that she's pulled off that I'm like, okay, how? That should not be happening. This should be illegal. But yeah, I don't know. You do see some really impressive stuff out there. I think the stuff that I find most insane is actually probably from the furries, because those fursuits are wonders of engineering. I don't know how you don't die in them. A con gets so hot and you've covered yourself in fur. I actually have a furry character in the comic, and part of the joke is that he's basically got an Iron Man suit. It's just the inside of it has like full cooling units and things like that. At some point, I need to make a joke that it can fly.
Okay.
But yeah, are some of the probably the most impressive stuff to see.
I always share this one because I was in Washington, D.C. for Awesome Con. One time
I've been I tabled there in 2023 along with Kelsey Crawford.
Okay. This was a little bit before that. I want to say it was probably 2010, I think. Mm-hmm. But there was a gentleman there who did Bumblebee as the Transformers and literally built the giant, like he was on stilts. He was taller than everyone else. He was like on those stilts, he was like 7 foot tall, and he had the whole costume. He even had the voice digitizer. I mean, that was like, dude, that, and still to this day, I still can remember that and go, that's a cosplay.
That's a fair point. I haven't seen like full mecha cosplay in a while, but it used to be one of the things that I was like, oh man, I'd love to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. I always wanted to make a cosplay of Big O from, if you happen to know that anime.
I know of it. I've never seen it, but I know of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Just a very cool noir anime. It was made by the same studio that did the animation for Batman, the animated series. And you can kind of tell.
No. Oh, okay.
It's got elements of that vibe to it, but it also has a giant mecha in it. And I was always like, it would be cool to like make an outfit like that.
All right, well, let's talk about Canon Wright Productions. You stated that you specialize in anthologies. Your partner and you specialize in stories that are more in anthologies. Why the genre of anthologies? Was it for convenience? Was it an opportunity to pull in other creators and give them a showcase? What was the catalyst?
Well, when we originally came up with it, we came up with doing a lot of this during the pandemic. There was a business model idea that I had, and I happened to run it by Rainer, and he said, I had the same idea and I was going to run it by you. and it was, the original concept was actually to try to do something along the lines of the Japanese serialized like manga magazines, things like Shonen Jump and stuff like that. And we were like, and so the idea was kind of like, oh, we want to create a system for serializing other creators' work so they could get projects out and stuff like that. And then we talked it over and we realized what we're basically describing, the best way to start doing this would be to try making an anthology and see what would happen. And we quickly realized this is better than what we were suggesting. It is so much less work. It is so much easier to get people who would be willing to do it. And it was also, this was while we were all stuck at home in 2020. So we just reached out to some of the cartoonists we knew and said, hey, we're doing an anthology. We picked the topic of cryptids, black and white, 12 pages, show us what you got. And that was less than secret. You can actually see the poster right there.
Mm-hmm.
I just remember this is not a visual medium.
Yeah, that's okay.
But yeah, and it ended up, it came out and we immediately were like, this was awesome. We need to do this again. And basically have just kept making anthologies because it's been incredible work bringing in other people and working with them. And it was, I'm trying to think how to put this. So a lot of cartoonists I know want to do their own work rather than do things in teams. I was kind of like that too. Like one of the things that got me interested in comics at the beginning was, oh, I can do every single piece of this myself. And it's manageable. Like that's hard to do with film because you're kind of collaborating and relying on other people. And I saw that as a bad thing. And now I'm like, wow, collaboration's great. This is so much better looking than what I can do on my own. And like, there are all these different stories and voices. And so we basically decided we're going to keep doing this.
Do you have more anthologies on the way? Cause I know that you have the two Less Than Secret and the other one's What the Gnomes Know. So do you have a few more coming out?
We did Less Than Secret and What the Gnomes Know. We also, our most recent one was Universal Flaws of Robotics.
Oh, okay.
Which actually just won the Space Prize for Best Graphic Novel of 2025, even though it's technically an anthology.
Well, congratulations on that.
Yep. And we're just starting up the next one. We don't have a name for it yet, but the theme is going to be Kaiju. So giant monsters like Godzilla and stuff like that. Nothing that, like one of the rules is it all has to be original because we don't want to, Toho's known for suing. We don't want to mess with any of that. But yeah, we're going to, we just got the announcements out of who's going to be participating. And my guess is we're probably going to be kickstarting that at the beginning of next year. Yeah, the due date for a lot of the stuff is going to be around the fall now. And it's not a great idea doing a Kickstarter in around that time because during the holidays, people are more likely to be spending money on other things. So mm-hmm. probably going to kickstart it in early next year.
Mm-hmm. That is wise. That is something that I think you have to be aware of. Also, I've also heard like that August, September time period is a little bit tough because people going back to school and they have to, you know, especially now, I mean, especially with our economy yeah. as it is right now, you got to watch where you're spending your money. And that sometimes I've heard has been a rough time period as well.
Yeah. Going back to cosplaying for a minute, I almost didn't do sure. this Kickstarter because I was looking at how people were spending money. Like I've had a few cons recently that were usually very good cons. And I was very surprised that they were less profitable than normal. And I was kind of reading it as I'm worried that people are not spending money on this kind of stuff as much. So I almost didn't do this Kickstarter. The one thing I noticed is I actually started doing research and Kickstarter projects for comics are still doing pretty well. So I decided, all right, give it a shot. Why not?
Well, you know, we're talking about convention life. You know, there's a couple conventions that I may not be going to, because when gas is $5 a gallon, I don't know if I can justify heading up 3, 4, 5 hours to another Midwestern town to see a show. And in the past, that was never the case. You know, I want to go. I got nothing else going on. We'll go. But nowadays, heck, even just, you know, regular life. I'm not going to run down. The other day, I was like, I'm going to run down to the grocery store. No, I'm not, because that would be a wasteful trip. And gas is $5 a gallon. So wait till you have to get a bunch of things at the grocery store. You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean. Like, this is the reality we're dealing with right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, one of the funny things, though, Kickstarter, I believe something like 30% of created Kickstarter campaigns get funded or something like that. So less than a third actually make it. The most successful category for campaigns is comic campaigns. And I think they have something like a 65% success rate. It's insanely high compared to the overall success rate of Kickstarters.
Well, let's talk about it maybe for people that maybe don't know, and I invite you to go back into the archives and listen to our first conversation that Ben and I had. But mm-hmm. let's talk about the Letters of the Devil. Just to give a little recap for maybe new listeners, what was that project all about?
So the Letters of the Devil came about while I was at the Center for Cartoon Studies getting my MFA in sequential art. It started as my final project. And I've always been interested in mystery comics. It's a genre that is kind of underrepresented in Western comics, which is weird to me, because if you went to prose books, it's one of the most popular genres. It's just like cozy mysteries and stuff like that. So I knew that that's what I wanted to move in the direction of when I was first starting out. And I came up with this idea of a mystery around what would happen if your deadliest secrets were revealed to random strangers. The first one I managed to get all the thumbnails done by the time I graduated. It was one of the main things I submitted for consideration for graduation. And then over the next year, I finished it and put the entire thing online as a webcomic to try and start building interest. After which I got it. It was my first Kickstarter. I successfully managed to get it crowdfunded as a graphic novel, and immediately got to work on the second book. And honestly, second one I think did actually come out better. So I'm very excited that we've been able to get two. I do have a third one in the works. I'll be honest, it's a little stalled out in the scripting process. Mm-hmm. And a part of that is all the energy I've been putting into Cospain and into other projects. But I do at some point want to make, honestly, several more books in this series. But yeah, if you were less into comedy and things like that and want to check out a mystery stuff, Letters of the Devil's worth checking out.
So what happens when you get stuck, when you have an obstacle placed in your way? Now, and just as you mentioned, you know, that there's reasons, there's, you know, things that beyond our control sometimes that happen. How do you deal with that? What's your method for getting, quote, unstuck, so to speak?
Most often I move to a different project and see if I can work on that one instead. There's a recent thing I've started doing where I've had a spreadsheet for a while of my back burner projects, things that are like, I want to do at some point, but for whatever reason, I can't work on them right now. And I've been trying to get better at going back and like, I set up a random roll system where I can roll D&D dice and figure out and it says, okay, this project, put an hour into it. And that's actually been really helpful. I've got a few more projects that are getting closer to being actually doable.
How did you come up with that idea? Because that's pretty ingenious, Ben. I got to be honest with the rolling and the rolling the dice and the spreadsheet and whatnot.
I am not an organized person, and I always am trying to fix that by basically reinventing how I do my own organization system.
Okay.
And the unfortunate fact is, most of the time, I will start and it'll go great for a few weeks and then I'll stop using it. And to be honest, I haven't random rolled on this in a minute because I've just, I don't know. You work on the projects you've got the bandwidth for is the bottom line. And this is just trying to force me to work on some stuff that needs the work.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are, Are any of those future projects that you'd like to discuss right now, or are those kind of still on the back burner and you're still kind of working on them and don't really want to highlight them or talk about them, whatever you want to say?
Yeah, I need to think about this. There are no dates on any of this because most of this is stuff in development. I will say I've only done one of these videos so far, but I've started doing videos that I call back burner barbecue, where I work on or I showcase one of the things in my back burner projects and just talk about it, talk about where I am in the process and things like that. I've done it so far for a sci-fi story I have called In the Vortex. And that can be found on my YouTube channel, which is probably the other reason I haven't worked on a lot of other stuff, because YouTube's finally taken off.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, hey, that's a great problem to have, is that the YouTube has taken off and going gangbusters.
It's true. You know, it's funny. One of the things I also started doing when we were actually doing the Kickstarter for Less Than Secret, for the Cryptid anthology, is I'd wanted to do game live streaming for a long time. Mm-hmm. And I started with a game that had a vague cryptid theme, Until Dawn, and started streaming that. And I've been doing that pretty much weekly ever since. And it was always, you know, very small turnout, and mostly doing for fun and talking to the void while I'm doing it, 'cause there's nobody in the chat. And then last year I ended up teaming up with two other creators, Kelsey Crawford. I don't know if you've interviewed them before. I'm imagining
you
have.
I have. Yes.
And an illustrator we both know, Kokomomo Art. And they started joining me for these streams. And no joke, over the course of a year, I went from 48 subscribers to my YouTube channel to like 550. I'm actually at 581 right now.
Oh, that's cool, man. That's great.
Yeah, like, so it went so very quickly, just massive increase. And all of a sudden I'm hanging out with friends and I have an excuse to like record those hangouts and put them on the site. And I've been doing a lot of video editing with that. So that's okay. Taking up a lot of my creative energy these days.
I gotcha. Well, we got a couple more questions here real quick, but one that I overlooked that I want to go back and talk about cosplaying, which again, I want to remind everybody out there that's listening that the Kickstarter is still valid until June 26th. Just go over to kickstarter.com, plug in cosplaying, C-O-S-P-A-I-N. It'll pop right up there. You could look at the project. You could check out the video, you know, donate. It's not too late. I know that, you know, that Ben's super close to it, super close to being done, but let's help him out. If you got a few bucks, chip in. You know, if you don't have a few bucks, spread the word. I'm sure, Ben, that would be fine for you, right? If they just tell everybody they know about absolutely. The project.
Yeah, the more you spread the word, the better, because someone's going to want to get it. Donate's a perfectly fine way to put it, but I also do want to remind people, you get something out of it. I'm selling on here. Like you can get a book, you can get additional merch. You can, you can have that. There's a product.
Yeah. So, but with that being said, how's the feedback been for cosplaying? Obviously, you know, in the circles that you are affiliated with, you have a lot of cosplayers, and I just wondered what their reactions were to various different comic strips that you've created for cosplaying.
You know, the funny thing about cosplaying, I always kind of look back on the start of it and think I started this comic for the wrong reasons. I have at times been very commercially minded, and my first thought when making this particular comic was, oh, this is something I could make that would appeal to a specific audience and would be pretty easy for me to put out. And I was doing it more because I was trying to make a product that I thought people would like, and I wasn't necessarily doing it for me. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that's been fascinating is as I've done this comic, it is the one that people have, in fact, had the most positive response to of anything I've made. And I've had people come up and be like, that's me, or that's my friend. And it's become a very personal thing for me that people are experiencing it this way. And it is fun when I have a few friends that certain characters are loosely based on, and very often they'll claim them, and it's kind of fun.
Okay, they haven't none of them's got mad at you and been like, hey, wait a minute.
Every once in a while, they'd be like, hey, listen. Honestly, the person who's probably gotten most mad at me, because there have been a couple characters that have been based on elements of this person, is my mom.
Oh, okay.
She's not a cosplayer at all, but every once in a while I have like a parent or something show up and she'll be like, oh, come on, I don't look like that. I'm like, it's not you.
All right. Last question here for you. Who or what inspires you?
Oh, that's a good one. I've had a lot of different mentors I've looked up to at different times. We mentioned Kelsey. Kelsey has actually been a big help for learning the ropes of being an independent cartoonist, especially in like the Midwest and areas around here, because they have a very good sense for the business in the area. They've got an incredible work ethic. One of my big influences when I was at the Center for Cartoon Studies was Steve Bissett. He was one of the he was the history of comics teacher, and I got to work a lot with him, and that was incredible. Outside of people I know directly, my goal by the end of my life is to eventually be able to draw like Junji Ito, the horror mangaka, because that's the artist where I'm always like, I need to draw more like that. That seems doable. I'm trying to think if there's any other good answers for this. There's a video I watch whenever I really need to light a fire under my ass.
Okay.
Yeah, an old YouTube video called An Invocation for Beginnings by YouTuber Z Frank. Some people may know him for doing true facts videos on different animals that are very silly. But he has this great thing called An Invocation for Beginnings that is just very good for motivating yourself to start.
Well, let's just recap here. Any other future projects? I know we talked about it, and then we kind of got sidetracked a little bit talking about some other topics, but any other projects that you would like to talk about that are coming up?
I don't have a date for it anywhere close yet, but I do have a podcast that I have working on the back burner.
Okay.
And it's going to take a while because I'm teaching myself audio editing. This is the biggest problem with being an independent creator is you keep wanting to be like, oh, I can do that myself because I can't afford to pay someone who's better than me. Not yet anyway. But it's going to be an D&D actual play series. We've actually been playing it now for a couple of years and recording all the sessions. And I have hours of footage I'm going through and turning into a comprehensive story. So keep an eye out for that. It's called Somnambula. Hopefully in the next year or two, I'll have enough of my stuff together that we'll be able to properly announce that.
Okay. That sounds cool. And yes, audio editing is the bane of my existence sometimes.
I do video editing now, so I get it. It's surprisingly, there's a lot of overlap there.
Yeah, there is. You're absolutely correct. But all right, any social media, website, anything you want to let the folks know where they can follow you and keep tabs on all your projects?
Absolutely. You can find me at bwhcomics.com. I'm also at bwhcomics on Patreon, Instagram, Twitch, YouTube, and Blue Sky.
And where can folks get their hands on your projects, especially your past projects like The Letters of the Devil and your other anthologies?
Best place for that actually is bwhcomics.com.
Okay.
If you want the anthologies in particular, you can also go to canonwrite.com. That's canonwrite.com. We have a separate store set up for that. In addition, if you want to try just looking at, for them through your favorite online retailer, we are available through the Ingram Content Group. So you can find us on Amazon, barnesandnoble.com, things like that as well.
There you go. Well, Ben, it's been fun, man. It's great to hear about all those new projects and current projects you have going on. And thanks for sitting down and chatting with me tonight.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
You're quite welcome. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. My conversation with Ben Wright Uman talking about Cospain and the new collection that he's putting together. Again, check out the Kickstarter and help Ben out if you can. It's a cool project. It's a funny project. As trust me, I've read several of the strips that go along with Cospain, and it's pretty comical. And besides that, you're also helping out a great creator. And once again, I want to thank Ben for taking some time out of his busy schedule to chat with me today. Maybe you have a question about this episode, or any episode for that matter. Well, let me tell you, you can get in touch with me if you choose to do so. I am still on Twitter, believe it or not. I know I should get off that cesspool, but I don't know. It's always something I have to do on the to-do list, but never seems to get done. But nonetheless, you can still find me over on Twitter, at PVDMVP is the handle over there. At the Threads, Facebook, and Instagram accounts, at PVDcast. And you can even just shoot me an email if you like. JohnOrlando@PVDcast.com is the email address. Well, maybe you want to let some folks know about the show. Well, there's a couple different ways that you can do so. First of all, you can tell them all about PVDcast.com, which is the online home of yours truly, and probably the best place to get every single new episode of the show. But it's also available through all those major podcasting outlets and apps. All you have to do is go to your favorite outlet or app, put in PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, and you should find it. And if I could ask for just another favor, that would be rate and review. Rating and reviewing helps me out in the algorithm, and it lets those particular podcasting outlets and apps know that you're listening. And so it mean a lot to me if you could rate and review. And you know what? It's pretty handy for you to also subscribe while you're doing that. So go ahead. There you go. Rate, review, and subscribe. And there's even a third way that you can hear each and every episode of the show. And that is through the Facebook page at PVDcast on Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where I do a live broadcast of the week's episode. So there you go, three easy ways to get your fill of the PVDcast. That is, of course, the website, pvdcast.com, through your favorite podcasting outlet or app, and of course, Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, through the Facebook page. All right, ladies and gentlemen, with that, I'm going to get on out of here. I want to thank you once again for checking out the show, and I'm going to chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous. Stay independent and stay safe and healthy. The following has been a presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2020.